So let's bring back Albert, good old AE Albert Ellis, one of my lifelong heroes, looking over my shoulder. Makes me feel really confident as I share with him, as I share with you, one of his probably most famous teachings. Albert Ellis was quite an interesting guy. If you've ever watched him, or if you've come across him or read any of his materials, if not, I'm going to strongly urge you to do a little bit of research. Yes, some of the ideas might seem a little bit extreme, but to be honest with you, they are just so real life. All right, what Albert came up with was a list of 13 unhelpful beliefs that many people operate out of in life. All right, now look at how articulate I'm being right here. I'm not just saying beliefs that people have in life, it's beliefs that people operate out of. All right, if you really want to understand what a person believes in life, if you want to know what a person believes in life, if as a life coach you want to be able to identify the most effective questions that you can ask a client to address the unhelpful limiting beliefs that they may have, look at their behavior. Look at how they behave. Look at how they are around people. Look at how they relate to others. And behaviors are a great indication of that which a person believes. All right, so I want to build upon that idea that I shared just in that last video about people-pleasing behavior. You know how some people go through life and they'll do their best to win the approval and the validation, and they want to be accepted, they want to be loved, they want to be the center of attention all of the time. You know, really needy people, you know, sometimes we might refer to them as Klingons, things like that. There's Klingons on the starboard bound. Some people operate out of this limiting self-belief that I must do well and I must be approved of everyone or I am not a good person. All right, now it's not that people are going to tell you this. It's not like you're going to have a conversation with your clients and say, "So tell me, what do you believe about yourself? What do you believe about how you must relate to other people?" Because our beliefs are 9 times out of 10 often unconscious beliefs, all right? So we're operating out of the beliefs that are kind of simmering away beneath the surface. So as life coaches, it's our role to identify what the limiting beliefs are that our clients are operating out of, so we can question them, so we can interrogate them, we can use Socratic questions and things like that to start imploding them and tearing them down. Why? For what purpose? To set people free, all right? What I'm going to boldly suggest right now is that the greatest prisons that keep people enslaved in life are not built and made up of breeze blocks and cast iron and all of that sort of thing. They're actually just the beliefs that we subscribe to, the ideas that we buy into, which are just a whole, you know, flow of validated thoughts, all right, or opinions. If a person has been deprived of intimacy or affection through the younger stages and, you know, periods of their life, if we just link back to that Morris Massey three periods model from the last video, if a person has had to earn the affection of their parents, i.e., you know, parents say things like, if you do this, you will be good. If you do that, you will be good. If you do this, you get my affection. My affection's granted conditionally, if you behave the way that I want you to behave. All right. When we do not extend people or children unconditional acceptance in life, then they come to learn that acceptance must be earned. And guess what? All people all of the time want to be unconditionally accepted. Think about what unconditional acceptance is. Well, unconditional acceptance is us being accepted and approved of by another person without us having to do anything. All right, now this might sound like a funny idea. Some people might be saying right now, "But Kane, trust must be earned." And I'm going to agree with that. Say, yes, trust must be earned, but trust is not unconditional acceptance. Trust is generally going to be attitude, actions, and behaviors based, whereas unconditional acceptance is about us unconditionally, the person, who the person is. Now, it is possible for us to unconditionally accept people whilst being completely dismissive of their attitudes and their habits, their behaviors, especially if they are unhelpful or destructive or damaging or dishonoring by nature. All right. So as life coaches, we want to get very, very good at separating people, i.e., the core of who they are, from their attitudes and their opinions and their behaviours and their beliefs and all that kind of stuff. Because believe it or not, some people will come through your doors as a life coach, and they're even going to try to say what you think you want them to say, all right, to try and please you. There's going to be some clients who come through your door who are going to look up to you, kind of like a role model or a parent. They're going to want you to fill a void or deficit that they have in their life. And as a coach, if we are to fall into this is going to bring about massive transference and counter-transference issues, which is all to do with how we relate to people. It can really do a relationship, and the trust in a relationship, some serious damage. So it's important that if we are to come across or experience any attitudes or behaviours from a client, especially who's trying to please us or trying to really impress us, we address it, all right? We can use a couple of communication skills I'll share later on, one called immediacy, where we're just simply saying what we see, but I'll demonstrate this later in a communication skills section of the course. But this is one massive limiting belief that many people operate out of. Do you? And if so, if not, how do you even know? The second belief that Albert Ellis suggested hold people back in life is this. Other people must treat me nice and fairly or else they are bad. Now, think about how many people you know who actually operate out of this. All right, think about it. Think about how many conversations you've had with family members or friends or associates or colleagues at some point in the past. And when someone says or does something to us that we don't like, that's it. We get offended, we get angry. The other person is suddenly really, really bad because they're not treating us the way that we want to be treated. They're not treating us nicely. They're not giving us everything that we want to get. It's a little bit immature, isn't it, if you think about it? But many people live and operate out of this belief. All right. This kind of gives birth to this attitude of entitlement. All right, I've mentioned this in the last section of the course as well, where people genuinely believe that they are entitled to the world, their society, their family, their bosses, their managers revolving around them. And this most certainly is just never the case. It really breeds an attitude of disempowerment. All right. I must have an easy, happy life, or I cannot enjoy living at all. How many people do you know that go through life just pursuing happiness? I just want to be happy. I want to be happy. I want to be happy. And what happens when people don't feel happy? Well, they end up feeling sad. And what happens when some people feel sad? Well, they end up going to the doctors, getting some medication. How does that serve them? Well, it doesn't, right? Some people end up on medication for an entire lifetime. Right, because they never learn how to self-regulate. But think about this belief, I must have an easy, happy life or I cannot enjoy living at all. Now, I don't know about you, but the thought of having an easy life would bore me to tears. I don't want an easy life. Now, I like to grow, I like to tackle complex challenges, and I love the fulfillment that comes about when I just accomplish something or achieve something that I didn't think I was capable of accomplishing or achieving. But many people coming from a place of apathy, all right, really buy into this idea. I must have an easy life. Perhaps someone somewhere, a hero, is going to come into my life and just sort everything out for me. So I'll just wait patiently, do very, very little. And when I don't get the outcomes and the results that I want in my life, I feel sad. All right. If I can link all of these ideas, these beliefs back to the cause and effect principle, all right? Every single one of these beliefs is the cause of our actions or attitudes or behaviors. Our actions or attitudes and behaviors are always going to be the effect of a prior cause. So as life coaches, we always want to be dealing with causes that we will know to be unhelpful, limiting beliefs. I'm entitled to everything that I feel and think that I'm entitled to. All right, my way is the highway. I can't understand why the whole world doesn't just want to revolve around me. All right, now let's look at children. Let's look at young children. When a young child wants what he or she wants and then has a little temper tantrum when he or she doesn't get what he or she wants when he or she wants it. And then little children become fully grown adults, right? Not learning how to, or haven't yet learned how to self-regulate and behave in a more mature manner. So sometimes we can mature in terms of our thinking, but if our beliefs don't mature, then, you know, this becomes our default mode. It's important to understand that the process of growing up in life isn't about building our biceps, it's not about becoming more skilled or talented, it's about growing up and out of the limiting beliefs that we develop back when we're young. And if you're looking at these ideas, you're probably thinking, my goodness, they're really quite infantile. Well, of course they are. Because where do beliefs get developed? They get developed between 0 to 7, 7 to 13, 14 to 21, when we are young, when we don't know any better. And guess who it is that's developing these beliefs? It's not like a person's going to come to us or our parent's going to say, right, son, here are your beliefs. I'm going to give you your beliefs right now. These are the beliefs you're going to have for the rest of your life. These are the right beliefs to believe. No one does that. Our beliefs are just our interpretations of our life's events and our relationships. And because we're all capable of jumping to the wrong end of the stick, can you see how it is that we don't want to be hard on people when they act and behave in inappropriate, defensive, childlike ways? It's just how they have learned. All right. It's not like anyone gets up out of bed in the morning with the intention of going and sabotaging their relationships or hurting people or harming people or anything like this. It's just people have some pretty unhelpful beliefs that they operate up and out of. And guess what? A person's beliefs will always seem right in their eyes. When a person gets defensive, right, what is it that people strive to defend the most in life? Their beliefs. Why? Because the beliefs are the foundations that we're building and basing our life on. It's the best that we have. It's all that we've got. So guess what happens when you enter into a conversation with someone and you say, what you believe is wrong. Your whole way of living life is wrong. I can't believe how wrong you are. My way's the right way. Your way's the wrong way. You believe what? What sort of imbecile would come up with an idea like that? When we dismiss another person and a person's beliefs, we are completely undermining and belittling the interpretation of their entire set of life events and experiences. I'm going to call this completely dishonouring because we all are on exactly the same journey in life. We're all interpreting our life's events as we will, and we're all arriving at completely different assumptions. And what I would suggest is that our beliefs are just glorified assumptions. Are you with me? I must be a high achiever and I must accomplish much or else I'm a worthless person. Oh my goodness, this one resonates with me so much. All right. At some point throughout my younger years, I learned that I was a completely worthless individual, and I'm being straight with you. All right. This is still a chain, a noose that I have around my neck today. Right, I'll find myself at points striving, trying to create things, trying to make a difference. I'm trying to do this, I'm trying to do that, I'm trying to help people. Why? Because I desperately just want to be worth something. All right? Now, I know on an intellectual level, I know through my experience, I know through my studies, through the coaching, that the belief that I operate out of is limiting. I know that it's not true. I understand my value. I know I'm a valuable individual, but unfortunately, our beliefs often operate as kind of like ghosts from the past that every now and again rear their ugly head, come back and bite us. Doesn't matter how much work we do on ourselves, all right? And until we know the extent and the whole truth of what it means to be alive and what it means to be human, and we're still going to be relying very heavily on our beliefs, and all of our beliefs are going to be limited and limiting by nature. Have you ever met a perfectionist? Have you ever met someone who's just attention to detail, to the point that they're just, it's kind of like they're just being completely anal. Do you know what I mean? All right, look at the belief they're operating out of. You're going to be able to see this now. I must be a high achiever and I must accomplish must. I must do excellent. I must be perfect. I must get it right or else I'm a worthless person. And it's not that this is true. It's just what people believe is true. No one should ever behave badly. And if they do, I should condemn them. All right. Could we give reference to certain religious ways of thinking right now? Why not? All right. What about the sinners? All right. You're a sinner. You're bad. You're this. You're that. How about the court of law? All right. How about the court of law? One of the greatest ironies I've ever come across, I'm aware of, is around the world you have courts of justice, courts of law, and you have judges, all right, who sit there and condemn men and women for the crimes that they commit. And obviously some crimes are pretty bad crimes. Some people do behave in all sorts of really unhelpful, cruel, heartless ways. But the greatest irony of the court judicial system is that imperfect people judge other imperfect people for being imperfect. All right? And in the same way, we often operate as judges in the context of our day-to-day lives as well, don't we? You know, when we're arriving at assumptions, you know, what we think a person's intentions are, a person says or does something that we don't like, because, you know, we're meant to have an easy, happy life. Other people must treat us nice and fairly or else they are bad. Well, who is it that determines whether other people are good or bad? Well, when we're getting what we want from people, of course people are good. But when we're not getting everything that we want from people, when everything's not going 100% our way, people are bad, aren't they? And we become the judge, the jury, and the executioner. No one should ever behave badly. No one should ever do what I don't think they should be doing. And if they do, then, you know, they're bad. I should condemn them. I should give this person a piece of my mind. Have you ever heard anyone say that? I've got a good mind to go and give this person a piece of my mind. I'm going to go tell them my opinion about how I think they're getting their life wrong. You know, completely undermining and not even acknowledging the fact that they're doing their very, very best with the resources that they have. They're just operating out of an extremely unhelpful set of beliefs as well. But as humans, isn't it true that it's a lot easier to identify and point out the imperfections in other people, but it's not always so easy to look at the imperfections within ourselves? My goodness, that must just make us all a bunch of hypocrites, all right? And it does, right? Because this is how we operate as human beings. What's the old saying? I'm not sure where this came from, maybe an old Chinese proverb or something like this. And it's, if you want to identify the speck in your friend's eye, you got to first make sure that you've removed the log out of your own eye so you can see the speck in your friend's eye just a little bit clearer. And how I've kind of interpreted this over the years is that we so often, don't we? We look at people's imperfections and we pinpoint them and all the rest of it. And as we're focusing on other people's imperfections, we're completely missing and completely overlooking all of our own flaws, all of our own rotten attitudes and habits, and judgmental attitudes and all that sort of thing as well. So if we want to be able to see other people clearly and accurately, all right, we've got to become self-aware. We've got to get aware of ourselves. And this does tie back in with that last section of the course on idea. Self-awareness comes first, self-management comes second, and then we're on social awareness, social management. If we want to influence other people, we can only do so effectively if we first managed ourselves in this area. So interesting stuff, isn't it?